My burden this morning is how much we need the Holy Spirit. And I want to just bring out different ways that have come to my mind where we really are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Here in Romans 8, verse 26, it talks about our prayer, how that we don't know how to pray the way that we should. Have you ever come to the Lord and said, "Lord, I don't know how to pray about this"? Well, He has an answer for us. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." I don't know about you, but I've got lots of infirmities in many ways, weaknesses of humanity that are just there, places where I'm weak in my understanding, weak in my faith, comprehension of what I should do. And I need the Holy Spirit. We all need the Holy Spirit because we have infirmities, because He helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we definitely need the Holy Spirit in our times of prayer. Many times I stop because I realize that I am rambling, and then I'm saying things that I'm thinking, you know what? I need to focus here. Lord, help me. Help me to focus on what is the real need. Who needs the prayer this morning? Where are the burdens? And you know, the Lord, He is faithful to bring people to my mind. And later I found out that's right on target. Those people were in need and in trouble. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us when we pray. Another place in Romans is Romans chapter 5. I may not be all in. Don't consider the order that I put these in as of importance, because they're all important. And as they come to my mind, I'm going to share them. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Do you ever come to a time in your trials that you need the love of God? That love of God is shed abroad in you by the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit. After we're saved, we need to immediately begin to seek, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's an error in teachings in churches out there that says when you're born again, then He fills you with His Spirit. It doesn't work that way in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures, the disciples were saved. They were believers, but they had not been filled with the Spirit. And whenever they repented, He said, "Repent that you may receive." Let's see, how was it that he preached to the people there? Acts chapter 2 and 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So they had to repent before they could, and believe before they could receive the Holy Spirit. Another place in Romans, he told the believers, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So he was talking to the brethren that they should come and present their bodies to be a holy temple for the Holy Spirit. So that is very much a truth that, here's what I think, if it's preached and believed by people that, well, when I was born again, I received the Holy Spirit right then they don't seek for it. And He didn't give it then. He gives it after you've been saved. And if you don't ever seek for the Holy Spirit, I believe Jesus said it this way, He's with you and He shall be in you. God is with you, the Word of God, the comfort of God in a measure. But we want to have the Holy Spirit in His fullness. And that comes when He comes upon a believer who seeks and asks for Him. Jesus said, and Darren's verse was, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And Jesus said, your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we must come to Him after we're saved and begin to seek Him and ask Him. The disciples on the day of Pentecost, for 7 days after Jesus ascended to heaven, they met in the upper room and they sought the Lord. And they waited for the Holy Spirit. He said, don't do anything, don't go anywhere. You stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And He told them, and let's look at that, Acts chapter 1. Verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, you've heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I don't know of any of us who doesn't need power. We need power. What do you need power for? We need power over sin. We need power over the devil. And as we're around many, many people who are possessed with the devil, we need his power to combat the workings of the devil against us and against our loved ones and against souls in general. We need power. And where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 15, without Me you can do nothing. So He told His disciples, you don't do anything until you've received the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power when He comes upon you. And then He said, you'll be My witnesses. So we really can't witness. We don't have power unless we have the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit every day. Yes, He'll come upon you as He did there at Pentecost. But you know, I find in the book of Acts where the disciples at a later date, they had some terrible persecutions come upon them. And they met together once more and many times after that. But it records it there that they met together and prayed in the house and they were visited again with the Holy Spirit. They were filled again. And I find that the Holy Spirit is typified or is symbolized by something that Jesus talked about in Matthew 25, where He gave the parable of the virgins. And remember the virgins, there were 10 of them. He said there were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish. And the wise virgins took oil in a vessel along with their lamps. So they had a lamp that had a measure of oil in it. It was burning. Then they took oil in a vessel with them. The 5 foolish did not take the oil with them. They had a little bit in the lamp where the flame was, but what happened to it? They had a time of tarrying, and they all slumbered and slept while they waited for the bridegroom. And in that time of tarrying, their lamps burned and burned and burned until they went out. Well, if you had extra oil, that didn't happen. You tended to your lamp and you put in the oil when you saw that it was getting low. But those that didn't have the oil, their lamps went out and they had nothing to replenish. So they asked the others, can I borrow some oil from you? And they said, no, if we give you of our oil, we don't know how much longer we have. He's almost here and we have to have burning lamps in order to go in with Him to the wedding feast. And they said, go to town and get some more oil. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came. And those that were ready, it says, went in with him to the feast, and the door was shut. Later, those who had gone to town came back. And they said, let us in. And he said, not so. I don't know you. I don't I can't let you in. That, to me, and to many who have read that, feel like that is a type of the Holy Spirit. We use the power and the light and the victory that the Holy Spirit gives us. We use it. We use it up. We need more. We need more every day. So if you've said to yourself, well, I prayed and the Lord gave me the Holy Spirit, don't quit praying. Pray every day. Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. My dad, when he was about 40 years old, had been a pastor since he was about 22 years old. And he had many battles and burdens and problems. And the Lord told him, pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I remember when my dad did that. And I remember what it did for him. It renewed him. It gave him fresh power and victory. It gave him just new strength to do. He went from that time. He started the Christian school. He never faltered. And I'm sure he began to preach it too. He began to preach and tell all of us, you pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. We use that oil in our daily lives. We use it. Think about what oil does in a car. And it lubricates the engine. If you didn't have it, it's a pretty serious situation in a car. If your car develops a leak or if it starts burning it, it's a bad thing. But that oil in a car's engine, it is what lubricates it. It's not the fuel. Well, in a candle's illustration, it is the fuel. But in an illustration of a motor, it's what lubricates. So if you apply both of those to our lives, yes, we use the fuel, but yes, we need lubrication. We need everything to work with ease. We need it to keep us from friction with each other, with ourselves, for conflicts, for situations that need something to run very smoothly. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. I believe I mentioned that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord to refill our love. We need it in a marriage. I would not recommend getting married or being married without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our marriage to give us the love that we need to love. Love bears and endures all things, 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long, is very long-suffering and patient and kind. We need that in a marriage. We need that as parents. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 6, where he talks about the armor of God. We're not wrestling and striving with one another, but we're striving with very powerful principalities, authorities in the spirit realm of wickedness. And it's not just flesh and blood. It is a spiritual fight, and we need spiritual weapons. And he talks about, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we need God's Word, but he says here, he makes this little notation that it's what the Spirit uses. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God in your life to do offensive, not just defensive here, but a sword is offensive, to do offensive war against the devil. We need the Spirit in our lives to apply the Word when the enemy comes against us. I believe there was a scripture in Isaiah that said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So when we're tempted by the devil, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to withstand temptation and to know how to fight against him. To know how to use the sword, we're going to need that in today's world. You've got all kinds of false doctrines and beliefs. You're going to come up against people who are going to be right in your face with their wickedness, and we're going to need the Holy Spirit to give us the words to say. What is it that he said there about persecution and what to do? He said when you have to stand and answer to kings and to rulers. Let me find this here. Luke chapter 20. When he talked about having to answer, he said, don't think in your heart. Don't try to figure out what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Someone help me with that. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So we need to have the Holy Spirit. And you need to know that he abides in you, and that he reigns in you at all times, because we don't ever know when we're going to be called to do these kind of things. So we need an up-to-date, fresh anointing of the Spirit in order to be able to answer those that bring us questions. I think he said over in Colossians, I believe it was. No, maybe it's 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 15, chapter 3 and 15 of 1 Peter. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart. Make him have the Lord dwelling in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need the Holy Spirit to give us those answers. I was thinking also of how we need him to help us discern. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And there's quite a few of them. I won't go into all of them, but one of them is discerning of spirits. We need the Holy Spirit to give us discernment when we're dealing with a spirit. And many times you can pinpoint it and begin praying, and you need the Lord to give you that discernment to pray against that particular thing. Otherwise, we're beating the air. We don't want to beat the air. We don't want to just be general. But when you're dealing with evil spirits, you need to deal with that spirit in prayer. And so it's the Holy Spirit that can come to us and say, you're dealing with an unclean spirit, or you're dealing with a lying spirit. You're dealing with a self-pity spirit. And when you have that, the Lord brings that to your mind, you begin to rebuke that spirit in prayer. So we need the Holy Spirit to give us discernment of spirits. You go into a room of people, a room full of people, and maybe you have a whole group setting there, and you have someone that's leading the group. We need discernment. Lord, what spirit are these people? What spirit is the speaker? What kind of message? What kind of gospel? They call it a gospel many times, but what kind of gospel is it? Is Paul said there would be, Jesus said there would be false Christs. There will be false prophets. I believe it was in John where he said, don't believe every spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us discern what kind of spirits. What the man on TV, what kind of spirit is he talking with? Ask the Holy Spirit, give me discernment to know what this person, what kind of spirit that they have. And the Lord can help you. And I would encourage anybody, if you if you begin listening or reading or watching some kind of speaker, you keep that before the Lord and say, Lord, do not let me be deceived. Give me the Holy Spirit that I may discern what type of spirit that this is. Anyone this morning, if you think of something that you can share, you feel free to do that. Yes, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. Also, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. But let's read this one, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. We need the Holy Spirit because we need personal teaching and guidance. Here in John 16, it says, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Just think about it. If we look to the Lord to be saved and we're born again, but we do not seek for the Holy Spirit, and we assume that we have all that we need, but we do not equip ourselves with the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen when we come and encounter false doctrine, and we do not have the Holy Spirit to guide us? We could be easily misled. I'm sure the Lord will have mercy upon us time and time again. But we need more than just a preacher, because we're going to be out there. We're not going to always be with a good preacher. We're going to be out by ourselves. We're going to be reading things. We're going to be encountering things, hearing things. People are going to come up to us. I remember seated beside someone on a plane one time, and they were very animated and very persuaded that Saint Germain was the prophet for us and that we should listen to Saint Germain. And they had all of this stuff they were talking. I never met that person before. I never had any acquaintance with that, whoever they mentioned. But the Holy Spirit was right there. I had no preacher there. I don't know if I even had my Bible out of my purse, or I was just right there, and here's this doctrine that's just being, and this person was so persuaded. And I believe it's one of my sons met someone in a mall that said something about God the Mother, just a crazy doctrine, and he said that person knew as much scripture as he did. And he was encountering. They were convinced. They were convincing. They had all of this stuff that they were giving him. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, there are things that we're encountering that are very, very persuading. We need him to guide us into all truth. We need the Holy Spirit to direct our everyday steps. Think about, let's see, what story was that in the book of Acts where Philip, one of the preachers there in the Holy Spirit, there in the church, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. He received directions from the Lord. Here in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And just different places here in the New Testament, we have these kind of stories. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was sitting, returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to know where to witness, to who to speak to help us to know what to say, where to go. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a lamb before to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and he who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet? The prophet, of himself or of some other man? So here we have someone who was searching the word of God, but he needed someone filled with the Spirit to help him. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Later, after he had baptized him, it said the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. Another time in the scriptures, over here in chapter 10, we have where Peter was in the city. The Lord at the same time was talking to Cornelius in another city, talking to Peter in this city, directed both of them and helped Peter to go and preach the gospel to Cornelius. And then we have where Paul and the disciples, chapter 16 of Acts. Verse 7. Verse 6, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Look at that. They were preachers. They were just going to go to the next place. And the Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So again, they had the Lord say, no, don't do that. Then they had the vision that appeared to them that said, there was a man that said, come over into Macedonia and help us. So they went there, and that's where they established the church at Corinth. They stayed there and established that place. I believe they stayed, was it several years? Oh, wait a minute. I'm a little bit ahead of myself. I'm sorry, I said Corinth. This is Philippi, the church at Philippi. It was another place where they established there at Corinth. Chapter 18. But this is Philippi, and we have, he found there the women who were meeting down by the river, who the Lord opened their hearts, and then they found the woman there who was possessed of devils. The Lord delivered her of the devils, which caused an uproar in the city. They got thrown in jail. Then the jailer was converted. The Lord established this congregation because this was where the Spirit told them to go. This was where the fruit was ripe for harvest. So it's only the Holy Spirit who knows these things. We can't determine. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And it is true. We can't go to the right places. We can't say the right things. We can't even believe the right doctrines unless we have the Holy Spirit. We can't love. We can't pray. What are some of the other things? Is there anything else that I'm missing? I know the Lord brought a lot of things to my mind. of how we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to help us do warfare. And we've brought those things out already. I don't want to forget this one. We need to bear fruit. The whole message of the gospel, or the even in the Old Testament, God wanted a people, and they were like to Him as a beautiful vine that He wanted fruit from. Everywhere you can read that in the Old Testament. My people were unto me as a pleasant vine, and I came looking for fruit. Back then, they disappointed Him over and over. The fruit was wild and bitter. And then Jesus gave a parable in the New Testament of a man who came looking for fruit. That was God. He was wanting fruit from His people. Fruit that was good and pleasant, and fruit that would endure into your everlasting life. So it's the Spirit that brings the fruit. Verse 22, Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We cannot have joy, real joy, without the Holy Spirit filling us. I believe in the Psalms, Psalms 16, it says, in Thy presence is fullness of joy. So we have here love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Without Him, we cannot have the long-suffering or the patience, the cheerful endurance, the gentleness, the goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. In John 15, Jesus said, abide in Me, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in Me. John 15 and 4. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing. And this is really a fearful one right here. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather those withered branches, it says, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's a fearful thing. And then the next verse is something that's a very positive thing. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So we need the Holy Spirit in order to help us to receive answers to prayer. We need Him, as we kind of come full circle here. We began with the thought that we need the Holy Spirit in the time of prayer. We need Him so that we can pray the things that we should and receive answers to prayer. When you pray according to His will, it says in 1 John, if we pray according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, well, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petition that we desired of Him. So we have much need this morning of the Holy Spirit. We need to seek Him daily, receive of Him daily, and be baptized with Him, immersed in Him, have Him in His fullness. I believe He came not to just give us a little bit, but I think Jesus, did He say, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And what's that scripture in Titus? Talks about the Holy Spirit is shed upon us abundantly. Titus 3. Not by works, and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly. That word shed is abundantly, is copiously. It means lavish. He wants to give us the Holy Spirit lavishly to meet all of our needs, to help us to love, to help us to have joy and peace and patience, to help us to know how to pray, to help us and guide us and teach us, and to help us to fight and win the battles, and not only just defend ourselves, but actually the Spirit wants to use the word to accomplish things in the kingdom of God. A sword to cut through the cords and the bands of Satan. In many situations, he wants to work in us to deliver souls and to bring the kingdom of God into more places, into more people. He said, "You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." So we really can't witness and cast out devils, free the people that we're dealing with, pray the prayer of faith for them. We can't do it unless we have the Holy Spirit. But I'd like to remind us where he said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," and that's talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, "then you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." And I believe he's not just talking there about, okay, so I'm going to ask for a new car. He's talking about accomplishing spiritual things. That's what I really believe he's talking about. He's talking about asking for the kingdom of heaven's sake, asking for souls, asking for fruit. It's God's will that I have the love that I should have. It's God's will that I should witness. It's God's will that I should pray. So when we ask for the Holy Spirit, let's have confidence and courage. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is this: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And whenever he said it's your Father's good pleasure to give it to you, you can be assured, if I come to him, I begin to seek him for the Holy Spirit, he is going to fill me with the Holy Spirit because it's his good pleasure. What a wonderful treasure. We have this treasure in our earthen vessels. Your body was made to be a vessel or a temple for the Holy Spirit. He made you for him to dwell in you. The greatest relationship that can be had on earth is that relationship of the Holy Spirit indwelling a human body. And there's a thought that I think it's from the scripture that says the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon in the time when Gideon was doing warfare for the Lord. And that the translation really is the Spirit clothed himself with Gideon. That's quite a thought for the Holy Spirit to put us on, to clothe himself with us. He's inside of us. He's working out of us. He's living in and through us. He's praying through us. He's sharing God's word through us. He's pouring out the love of God toward people through us. This is the concept that it's a mystery. It is a mystery. But it is. He's bearing fruit. Because we're united with him, fruit is a result of a union every time. You cannot have fruit unless you have a union. That God set that concept up in creation. When he unites with us, when he indwells us, that's the only way we can have fruit. That's the only way that we can bear eternal fruit that endures unto everlasting life. And that's winning souls. Souls won to him by our lives. We cannot have the influence. I think about the type of spirit we have. Did you know you have a spirit? You have a spirit that manifests itself in and around others. Have you ever come across someone who had a very contentious spirit? It just like when you got around them, after a while you began to realize this person can't please this person. This person is very hostile, very contentious. Or maybe you've come across someone who had a very gentle spirit. And they just set you at ease, and it was genuine, and it was warm, and it was inviting, and it was the Holy Spirit. When we each have a spirit, we have something that manifests itself out of us. It breathes out of us. When you breathe out that's the word for spirit. You have a spirit. What the Lord wants us to do is to be united. He wants us to unite our spirits with Him. He wants His spirit to indwell us. Well, He's going to have to change our spirit and renew a right spirit within us before they can ever get along. That's why we need to be saved and the Lord to change us and renew a spirit within us and then fill us with His spirit. He can do that then because our spirit has been changed and converted into a right spirit so that it can unite with the Lord. And when He unites with us, we become one spirit with Him. He clothes Himself with us. We have Him abiding in us. And then we can bear fruit. We can win souls. We can have an influence that goes out of our life. Your spirit goes before you ever talk. When you enter a place or be around people, before you ever say a word, your spirit is already communicating some kind of a message to others. Jesus said to His disciples one time, "You don't know what manner of spirit you're of. You're communicating a message." What they had just said to Him was, "Do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and destroy that town?" And Jesus said, "You don't know what kind of spirit that's of." He wanted to take His disciples. Those two were called the sons of fire, by the way. Sons of thunder. He wanted to transform those two boys into men of true Holy Spirit fire and not a vengeful. They kind of had an elitist attitude about them. They thought that they should sit on either side of Him and when He came back in judgment. And Jesus, again, He had to reprove them. "That's not what My kingdom is about. I'll give that position to whom I will. But you all," He said, "you need to be servants." So do you think He transformed John the apostle? Now James, John's brother, was killed very shortly after Pentecost. But John remained, and he was the disciple, the only apostle that died a natural death in old age. He remained. He lived in Ephesus. He trained others under him. He rescued souls. He taught them all, love one another. Now I want to ask you, was he still of that old spirit that wanted to call fire down from heaven? No. Jesus transformed him, filled him with His spirit. He became another person, a different person, and that's what He wants to do with us. There's going to be a change in all of us. You say, "Well, that person's just naturally kind. They're just naturally gentle." If they're filled with the Spirit, that's how they are because the Spirit is in them. The Holy Spirit is in them. Because if the Holy Spirit wasn't in a person who's very gentle and kind, you just don't know what you'd have. It'd be entirely different. We're not just naturally bearing the fruits of the Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit within us. One scripture in the Old Testament says, "From Me is thy fruit found." It is only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Without Me, you can do nothing." So this was my little burden this morning. I trust it's been a blessing.